Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Dr. Jim Bradford. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Silent night, holy night. What a holy evening this is as we're in God's presence. The first words we hear uttered out of the mouth of God in the very first chapter of the Bible are the words, "Let there be light." And when Jesus came to the world, he is the living Word through whom God created the heavens and the earth, and he came to be the light of the world. As we did at Christmas festival a few weeks ago, would you just lift your candles and look around for a moment? Jesus is still lighting his light in people's hearts all over our world and all over this place. And thank God for the light that has pierced the darkness and brought life. So we thank you, Lord, for the light of God, for Jesus Christ, and for the fire that you can put in our hearts by your Holy Spirit to be also your lights. In Jesus' name, amen. You may blow out your candle. In the scriptures that were read just a few moments ago by Camille, I was captured by one verse in particular that is the tragic commentary on our world, actually. It's verse 10 of John 1. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not recognize him. He created the world. All things were made through him, but the world did not recognize him. I wonder if that's true of some of us here tonight. How do you see Jesus? Joseph in the Christmas story would have seen Jesus from the perspective of a father who is gaining a son that he had no part in creating. Maybe some of you have actually had that experience in life. King Herod would have seen him from the perspective of a paranoia that was insanely hateful towards anything that would be a threat to him. And I can certainly say, if you want to stay the Lord of your own life, Jesus will be an incredible threat to that agenda. And maybe like the wise men, who maybe would have seen Jesus from the perspective of philosophers and politicians who maybe had a plan for Jesus, this new king of the Jews. Maybe unlike Herod, who caved into the Romans, he could become their partner in the resistance against Rome. Or maybe you saw the shepherds. You see Jesus like the shepherds did. And exactly what Pastor John said at the beginning of our service. They saw Jesus from the perspective of the common folks who they were at the low end of the social spectrum and the economic ladder. And of all people, if you were making this story up, you would not have written it this way. Of all people, to announce for the first time that Jesus was born would be a group of people who actually had reputations of being liars and thieves. He's not far from any of us. Or maybe Jesus is mysterious to you, like Mary. Jesus, she would marry from the perspective of a mother in whose womb had occurred a miracle. And it said she would ponder these things in her heart. It's like it was still hard for her to figure out the implications of all of this. I don't know whether you see Jesus as a threat or as a gift or with utter shock and surprise he'd be interested in you or maybe just with a lot of mystery. I don't know. But let's fast forward 2,000 years ago to the world we live in today. And I love the story of a little boy who saw Jesus in a certain way. His name was Scott. And little Scotty had a favorite toy. His favorite toy was a plastic inflatable Tyrannus Rex. You know Tyrannus Rex with the big legs, the dinosaur, and the little arms like this. And he was king of the dinosaurs. And this was his favorite toy. Well, Christmas was coming, and the family was setting out the Christmas decorations in their home, and of course, as a lot of homes would have, maybe a nativity set there, which are little statues of Jesus in the manger, in the stable, and Mary and Joseph, and the shepherds, the wise men, the animals. And, you know, little Scotty, he wasn't happy with just that. His Tyrannosaurus Rex needed to be a part of the nativity scene, too. And he was just, he brought it out, blew it up, brought it out from his room, this huge inflatable dinosaur. And his parents, of course, tried to talk him out of this. They said, come on, 2,000 years ago, I mean, there were no more dinosaurs left on the face of the earth. And Scotty, there's no dinosaurs in the Christmas story. It doesn't belong in the nativity set. But he just kind of dug his heels in, and he was insistent that the dinosaur needed to be a part of the nativity set. So finally, they gave in. And there, on their table, they just set this inflatable Tyrannosaurus Rex plastic toy behind the nativity set. And there it was. It was hovering over Jesus in the manger and everything else, this fierce dinosaur. It didn't look right. Until the father later reflected, he said, as we stood back and looked at it, we realized that maybe that dinosaur says more than we realized. For over each of us, there is a menacing character that threatens to rob us of all of our joy and our peace and our cheer. But, this father reflected, Christmas reminds us that the baby in the manger is stronger than all the dinosaurs in your life or mine. And that God has given us victory through the gift of his Son. I don't know how you see Jesus, but I want to tell you, that little baby, so gentle, so mild, so seemingly non-threatening, 33 years later, he would grow up and go to a cross, and there he would be the shock absorber of our world's evils. There upon his body, the Bible tells us, he took our sin, he took our secrets, he took our addictions, he took our deceptions on himself, and that little baby on the cross would be the one who defeated evil itself and the powers of darkness. And then he rose again 3 days later to give us the victory indeed. Beyond our personal agendas, our political agendas, our mysteries, came Jesus to defeat the darkness in all the works of the devil. In fact, Jesus later, look at this verse with me. Jesus would later say in John 10:10, the thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. The powers of darkness, the system of this world, the demonic powers, they come to dismantle our lives and destroy our lives. Jesus got it right. There's a thief. There's a threat. There's a fierce dinosaur, Scotty would say, that is here to kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I have come that they may have life, that you may have life, that I may have life. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. This little baby conquered the world. And he conquered evil. And he says, I can step into you before I come back to the world a second time. And Jesus is coming again. He said, before that moment, I can step into your life. I can step into your sin, into your secrets, and into your addictions, and into your world, into your emptiness, into your hopelessness, and even into your arrogance. I can step in, and I can give you life. And so, Camille also read these words a few minutes ago after saying he was in the world and there in John 1, and the world was made through him and the world did not recognize him. John goes on, however, to say these words in verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. He came to the world that he made, and largely the world did not recognize him. But to those who did receive him, To those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children, and this is interesting, children born not of natural descent or of human decision, not like born of our parents, but children who are born of God. Jesus would later say, if you come to me, if you put your faith in me, if you look to me, if you receive me into your life, it'll be like you will be born all over again inside. Jesus was born into our world the first time so that we could be born again by the Spirit of God inside. I don't know how you look at Jesus, but this is the Jesus that stands before us today on this Christmas Eve, tonight. He says, I'm the Lord who came on a mission out of love for you, on a mission to reach you, on a mission to defeat the powers of darkness that would blind you and hold you back. And I would encourage you tonight, if your heart is not right with the Lord Jesus, what better time than on this Christmas Eve, as we celebrate him being born into our world 2,000 years ago, to say, Lord, tonight, be born in me. I made that decision when I was a young boy, and Jesus came into my life. I still remember at 8 years old, the fire of God burning in my heart as he changed my little heart and gave me a heart to love him. My grandfather came to Jesus at 50 years old, a man of the world with addictions, and God had no part in his life. And at 50 years old, he invited Jesus into his life, and he was born again. And overnight, his addictions broke, and God gave him a new and a holy heart, a heart that loved him till he died at 99 and a half years old. I mean, God got him just in time for the second half. And I want to tell you, today's the day of salvation. It's just in time tonight for you. He defeated the enemy. He brought light to darkness. And he says, I can cause you tonight to be born of me. Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. It's your right and mine because Jesus came to the world. And we will then be children born of God and alive in him. Would you pray with me before the choir sings a closing blessing over us? Our Father, we thank you for this great day, this great Christmas season. Thank you for the great truth that the light of the world, the one who said, let there be light, came to be the light of our world, came to rescue our world, sold out to sin and darkness and evil. Thank you, you defeated all of that at the cross, Lord Jesus. And thank you, you rose again so that we could rise again inside and be born again. Father, forgive us our sin. Forgive us for holding you at arm's length. Forgive us for holding to our sins and the wrong and for living for ourselves. We ask you on this Christmas Eve to forgive us and to come into our lives and to make us new. And as we celebrate tonight that you were born 2,000 years ago, we thank you that you can be born in our hearts tonight. We are yours. We give our life to you, and we praise you for the gift of your love and your eternal life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.